Glad you could join us for another episode of Cranford Radio. My name is Bernie Wagenblast. My guest today is Molly Kellett. She is the chair of the Cranford Planning Board. The Cranford Planning Board in the news quite a bit around town. And today's episode is not to discuss any of the current issues before the Planning Board. It's really to give an overview of what the Planning Board does, what their role is, how they function, things of that sort. Molly, thank you so much for joining me here on Cranford Radio.
Thank you for having me, Bernie.
Tell me, what does the Cranford Planning Board do? What is your role?
Our role is pretty unique in the town, I think, and for most municipalities or localities within the state, I think have similar other planning boards, you know, serve the same purpose. It's basically, if a piece of property within the township, a property owner wants to do something within certain parameters with that property, then it comes to the planning board and they make their application. There's a lot of different components to the process, but ultimately there's usually a hearing on the application and the board determines whether or not the application is consistent with the law and whether or not certain relief should be granted to the applicant, whether or not the application should be approved, denied, or modified within the board's determination. That's kind of a very simplified explanation. We also do other things, which include review of the master plan and any amendments to that. We also review township ordinances that are up for consideration or to be passed by the township committee. And we determine whether or not those are generally consistent or inconsistent with the master plan that had been passed. I think it's originally 2004, and there's a number of amendments to that master plan. And we've also heard different boards and commissions have come before us and presented different things, like the pedestrian and bicycle safety committee came to us with kind of their presentation on what they thought was important components for pedestrian and bicycle safety within the community. We've had the Historic Preservation Advisory Board come before us. We adopted kind of some guidelines from HPAB that were then incorporated into the master plan. And that was a process, I think that was a several year process of back and forth between the board that ultimately then was then adopted to be included within the master plan and to be reviewed for certain things that come before the board.
The township obviously has all different types of zones in terms of what are permissible uses. So I live in a residential area. If I decided I wanted to build a supermarket in the middle of a residential area, that would not fit within that zoning necessarily. I imagine that zoning map, so to speak, is something that has been developed over years. It wasn't just one day somebody said, okay, well, let's put together a zoning map, that there was a lot of time and this has evolved over the years. Is that a correct assumption?
I believe so. Our board doesn't necessarily adopt or revise any zoning ordinances or locations or determinations within the community itself. We look at what has been zoned or what is zoned when something comes before us. But I want to be clear that we're not making zoning determinations or whether an applicant wants to put something in a residential zone that's a commercial use. That wouldn't be within our scope. That's more the zoning board, from what I understand. I'm not on the zoning board, so I don't want to speak to what they do, but that's not something that would come before us. In my experience, the only thing that the planning board would have to do in terms of zoning would be as a description of what use an application is going to have in the specific location that it would be in. Or if there was an ordinance that was introduced, then we would review that for consistency against the master plan in terms of an ordinance that might relate to zoning in any way.
Walk me through a little bit. If I have a project that I want to do in town, how does that come before the planning board? Do I have to make an application to the engineering department in the township, or How do you become aware of something that needs planning board approval?
I think it would probably surprise people that the board members aren't actually involved in kind of the filing and the completeness determinations, et cetera. My understanding of the process is that an application would be filed. It goes to the zoning office, and the administrator looks at it, determines whether or not it's complete. The DRC or the zoning officer looks at it and determines whether it's complete. And then there's a whole review process. We are not involved in the application until it is ready to be heard by the board. The review for completeness, any revisions or determinations that are made by the administrators within the planning and zoning office or whatever the specific name is within the township is separate from the board's review. So once it's deemed complete and ready to be heard and notice has been given to the property owners within a certain location per the municipal land use law, which is handled by the applicant, then it's ready to be scheduled. All of the materials are posted publicly and then also given to the board members to review it. There's no discussions that happen among the board members outside of any planning board hearing. So really, the board members' involvement is limited to the hearings on the application, and that's it.
And if I, as an applicant, am not satisfied with what the planning board has decided, what happens? Can they go to the township committee? Can the township committee overrule what the planning board decides? Or would that maybe be more a legal case?
The board itself wouldn't have anything to do with that unless there was litigation filed. So usually the relief is that an applicant can then seek judicial relief and file to have something reversed or overturned or modified, as long as the law would allow that, from what I understand. It's probably surprising, but our involvement is really only limited to the hearings itself.
When I look at the membership of the planning board, they have different classes of members. Can you explain to me what those different classes mean? Why are there different classes of members for the planning board?
For the purposes of the board itself, there's really no difference. I think it's a designation under the municipal land use law, which is pretty detailed and extensive. Everyone is appointed. It depends. I think if you're class four, you might have a 4-year term. There's also alternates. And then there are two persons that are representatives of the township committee. And those can change as the township committee changes. But other than that, aside from being an alternate versus a member, there's no distinction in how you participate. And alternates can ask questions in the same way that members can. There's no limitations or distinctions during hearings or anything like that that relate to that class 4, class one, whatever it might be. I can't speak specifically, but I think it might be length of term or something to that effect.
Tell me about you. How long have you served on the planning board?
I started in 2020.
Why were you interested to serve on the planning board? There's obviously a lot of different committees and boards around town. What drew you to the planning board?
Well, I think that I had seen other planning boards kind of in action in other communities through my work, and I found it very interesting. I knew people that had served on planning boards and found that type of service valuable. I have interaction in construction and things like that in my professional life, so I thought that is a skill set that could translate to reading plans, et cetera. So I was asked if I was interested in joining in committees, and that was one that sounded interesting to me. And then I was asked if I wanted to be a member. So there were a number that sounded interesting to me. The library committee also does sound interesting to me. In hindsight, maybe should have only checked that one. But yes, so because I thought there was kind of a skill set that I had in my toolbox that might translate, I thought that I might offer my services.
And how is the chairperson selected among the board members? Is that something that the township committee decides, or do you decide amongst yourselves who's going to be your chair?
Every term, there's a reorganization every year, and there is a vote on the chairperson, the vice chair among the board members. That's how the chair and vice chair, and then usually there's also a chair pro tem that would serve if those two people were unavailable, which has happened in the past, and those people are elected by the members of the board.
A question I almost always ask of people who serve on the various boards and committees in town, because obviously this is not a full-time job, and you made reference to your career. Tell me a little bit about what you do for a career. And you said you are involved with some similar issues, I guess, involving construction and such. So I'm curious to hear a little bit about your life.
I'm an attorney, so that is my professional background. I have been in private practice my whole professional career. I was a judicial law clerk for a year after law school, and then have been in private practice since. So I do commercial litigation, including, you know, construction matters, and have done that for a number of years. And so I never anticipated that I would be involved in, you know, complex commercial construction cases, or know what those types of things entail or require. And yet here I am, and it is interesting to me. And so I know that not everyone has that day-to-day experience. So I think that has been helpful in understanding, you know, reading plans and drawing details, architectural drawings, things like that, engineering drawings, etc.
You mentioned you joined the board in 2020. What are the biggest surprises for you in terms of what your expectations were when you joined the board? And now that you have 4 years experience or so serving on the board, what have been some surprises and things that you didn't anticipate?
It's been a very interesting learning process. I've really enjoyed serving with all of the other members. I think something that is often forgotten is that we're all just volunteers every other Wednesday, offering to serve our community. We spend some months more time together than others, but it's just comprised of a really wonderful group of people who care about Cranford and put in significant time because they love this community. And that has been why I've continued to serve. I enjoy serving with them. And I think it's important that members of the community like that continue to volunteer and want to offer their time in the service of this community.
Molly, another question that popped into my mind. You're dealing on the planning board, not just you, but all of the members on the planning board are dealing with some complicated issues. And not everybody comes from a background where they are familiar with those issues. Is there any kind of training that's available to somebody who joins the board to help them understand some of the decisions that they have to make and what they can and can't do, things of that sort?
My answer would be twofold. The first is that every member of the planning board does have a specific training that they undergo, and it's for stormwater management. And for a community like Cranford, that is extremely important for anything that the board is considering. So when you initially join, you have to go through a 2 or 3 part training process that teaches you about required stormwater protections and things like that, and gives you the appropriate background to understand those issues and what's going to be coming before you. The second is that the board has professionals that are involved in every application. I want to reference something that I mentioned earlier, is that the board members themselves are not involved from the inception or filing of an application, but the board's professionals are. So the board has a planner, 2 planners, actually, one that is really our primary and then one that's an alternate that would serve in the event of a conflict, and also engineers. There's a general engineer, and then we've also had another stormwater engineer. We've sometimes had 2 reviewing certain specifics on an application if there are additional questions. And then we also have a board attorney. So those folks come in to advise board members, generally speaking, during hearings on any issues or concerns that they have based on the plans, et cetera, or they speak directly to the applicant and provide testimony on the record during a hearing about their conclusions or findings based on the application that is before the board. That testimony and information is really critical often to decisions and findings and things like that. And if there are legal questions, or usually at the inception of a hearing or at the outset, we'll talk about the actual relief that an applicant is seeking under the municipal land use law through the application and what is going to be what the board decides on ultimately, and that our board attorney will offer guidance in that regard, because these are very specific issues that sometimes require professional licenses in order to fully understand, or to have someone that does hold such a professional license to provide us full explanations or flag anything that might be inconsistent or that might create concern or things that satisfy the request for relief or the application's requirements or what an applicant must show in order to have the application approved. Those are things that I think we rely on those professionals in those areas. And we also have the opportunity during hearings to ask them questions. And usually, I think for most applications, our professionals prepare reports before the hearing even begins that are also included with the application materials and posted on the Cranford Township website, along with the full application documents that go through point by point. This is what they're seeking. This is an open item. This is additional information that we need from the applicant in order to determine whether or not this is satisfied, or these are the requirements for an application like this. This is what they are seeking. This is the standard that's under an application like this one. Things like that. That's how the application moves forward, is through the assistance and guidance from not only our board professionals, but they usually respond to the applicant's engineers or planners. So we can go through kind of how an application is heard during a hearing, but there's a lot of back and forth between an applicant's engineer, for example, and then the board's engineer, and then the board will ask questions of both of those folks when we have additional questions, or if there's open items, or and then the public has the opportunity also to ask the applicant's engineer their own questions. It allows for that information really to get out into the record on the application so that everyone has a full set of facts.
Well, I want to thank you, Molly, for not just being on the podcast, but for the service you and the other board members provide. I know it is a volunteer job. Sometimes it is a very demanding job that you are asked to accomplish, but thank you for that service that you are providing to the citizens of Cranford. My guest on this episode of Cranford Radio has been Molly Kellett. She is the chair of the Cranford Planning Board. Again, Molly, thanks so much for being my guest.
Thank you, Bernie. Thank you for having me. It was lovely to be here.